Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Ladies, you have been maybe unwillingly, definitely unwillingly and unknowingly spreading a myth, a rumor about science when it comes to other women that we now know is absolutely false.
Yeah, up until now, we have really thought that women had Bluetooth connection in their uteruses because me, Cassie, and Kristen will always be like, I'm on my period, and then they'll be like, I'm on my period, and we're like, we're synced up.
We've heard this a million times over the years, right? Women in sororities constantly saying, yeah, the entire house was synced up after a while. We've heard it for decades.
And now I have the official proof to debunk this myth. This is coming from CBC News. Dr. Jen Gunter, who apparently is called the internet's gynecologist, according to this caption.
Wow. She's a lot of hoo-haws.
Quite the title.
I see them every day online. And not real ones, just figuratively.
And she is saying that this whole period syncing thing is a total myth.
The greatest single myth or misconception about menstruation is the idea that if you put a bunch of women together, that they're all going to cycle in sync, because that is not true. First of all, it's been studied, so we know it doesn't happen. We have excellent evidence-based medicine to show it's not true. Secondly, there's no biological mechanism for it to happen. If you understand how menstruation works, if you read my book and understand the hormone signaling, there's no outside influence for that. And then people say, oh, what about pheromones? No one has actually ever proven the existence of human pheromones. I know the perfume industry would have you think otherwise, but no one has proven they exist. And humans do not have a functioning vomeronasal organ, which is the organ to detect pheromones. Dogs do. They have huge ones. We don't. But the thing that I really hate about that is it positions women as breeders that are not in control of their own body, that somehow they can be affected by the herd, that they're not thinking beings. And so I think it's awful on that level, but it's absolutely not true. And it's just mathematics. If you take two randomly occurring events and line them up, they will at times be in sequence and at times not. And you just remember the time when you're in sequence.
Shocking!
Shocking
for ladies! Wow.
Right?
So every time I've been accused of pulling somebody, it was not true!
No. And we tested this theory because I was trying to get my period before my cousin's wedding. Yeah. And we rubbed up against each other.
We did. Consensually.
Consensually.
There are two things to chew on here. There's the sinking, but also there's no pheromones.
Yeah, apparently.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
I know.
That was a shocker too, because like as she said, like, you know, and there's something, I don't know how it got into my Instagram algorithm, but some kind of perfume that's supposed to make a man go wild because of pheromones. But according to her, that does not exist.
Oh, I've definitely searched for that perfume on Amazon before.
Yeah.
It's like the body oil that you put on. It's supposed to like activate certain chemicals in your body to make you more attractive to the opposite sex. I didn't order it, but I did think about it.
Well, according to her, it's all...
Yeah, nothing's real.
I bet Fauci's behind both of these. Freaking science, the science thing. All right, Kristen has made it me aware that the love that I think that I am looking for is exhausting and doesn't exist. Okay, the love that I might be looking for is a love that the spark is alive all the time. You have said before that sounds exhausting to you.
Well, it's not that it sounds exhausting. I just don't know if that's feasible.
I don't know either. I'm looking for it, though.
You've talked about this several times on the show, and my husband and I have had this, you know, we had a conversation. And, you know, my husband and I, we've been together for 17 years now, right? And the spark that was there when we first started dating, no, that spark is not there. but I would trade it in a heartbeat for what we have right now, mm-hmm. which is something I think is deeper and more meaningful because of everything we've gone through together. Do we still find each other attractive? Absolutely.
You sure?
Yes, I promise.
You talked to him about this recently?
Yeah. we are still attracted to each other. We are still intimate. We still enjoy that aspect whenever we are not too tired to do it. So I feel very fortunate that we have a loving relationship in that manner. But as far as like that spark that you're talking about when you first start dating somebody, yeah, nah, dog, we ain't got that.
So you and I are going to be in very different parts of our life when it comes to relationships, right? You
Correct.
Guys have a child together. I'm not having another child, mm-hmm. right? So I understand the depth and the intimacy that you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But what I'm looking for, I think, is like, even in a year, or in 2 years, or in 4 years, or in 5 years, when she walks in the door, I still get those flutters, you know, like I'm excited to see her all the time. And how do you keep that? One thing I've been thinking about and I've told you guys about is, if I really want that in a relationship, do I want to live with somebody ever again? Because there's that common place, I think Mo and I sort of share this fear also, there's that common place when you see them all the time, you start to take them for granted, or you just know they're going to be there. Can you keep that spark by living in two different places?
Is it wrong that I get the flutters when I come home and I see his car is gone?
That is what I'm trying to avoid.
And I get to walk into a quiet house yes. with nobody there.
I get it, man.
No,
I get it.
We're at a different stage right now. And, you know, and I do. I say that like half jokingly. I love my husband. I know my husband loves me. And we're at a unique place when you have a toddler and you're tired and you're kind of pushed
sure.
to the limits. And like that's maintaining that spark is not top priority. But we have really worked on making sure that we have date nights and we are more communicative than we have been in the past.
So here is a dude online, or a woman online, I should say, that this is what she does with her husband every day to try to keep that spark alive.
Get ready with me while I talk about why my husband and I make out every single night. So here's how it usually goes in long-term relationships. When you first start dating each other, it's like you can't keep your hands off each other, right? You're always touching, always kissing. But the pattern for most people is that once they get into a long-term relationship, they really stop touching and kissing so much. And eventually, it gets to the point where the only time that you're like really kissing each other is when you're trying to initiate sex. But what happens for a lot of people, especially if you're the lower sex drive partner in the relationship, is that you start becoming avoidant of any sort of touch or kissing. Like, if you're not wildly in the mood, you don't want your partner to kiss you and think that it's going to lead to more, right? But this only further intensifies that connection that kissing has to or is supposed to lead to sex. And this can even lead to what I call the bristle reaction, which is when you become so hypervigilant to your partner's touch or kisses that you actually can feel yourself bristle whenever your partner comes in to try to make contact with you. So the intent behind our nightly makeout sessions is to actually break the connection between making out and sex. This nightly routine has taken the pressure off of us to have sex if we start making out, and it's really allowed us to enjoy making out just for the sake of making out.
Well, that's a pretty cool idea.
No.
But it sounds exhausting to you?
Well, here's the thing.
You also have a kid. I mean, you've got a... What, 3-year-old, 2.5-year-old?
He'll be 3 next month. I am wallowed. Like, as soon as I walk home, Jimmy's in my lap. He's crawling all over top of me. He's like, I love it because I know this time is fleeting with him, but I am touched out as a mom, right? And so you do need that like personal space so you can get some autonomy back. So at this stage right now, that would not work for us. I commend her. I think it's a great idea, depending on where you are in your relationship. Now, something Bart and I have made sure to include in our relationship is we kiss before I walk out the door, and we kiss every night before I go to bed, like before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something we hadn't done before, and it seems small and it seems trivial, but it is a it's it's been great as far as our connection goes and acknowledging each other, because there for a while we weren't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, you could go days without realizing. Sometimes we'll just do nice long hugs in the kitchen, which I think it's important for our son to see mom and
dad
be affectionate towards each other. It's very sweet when we're putting Jimmy down for bed at night. I give Dada a kiss, and then Jimmy, he wants his kiss. So I want him to see affection, and I think that's very important. But as far as making out every night, that's not happening at this stage.
Because that sounds glorious to me.
And you're at a different stage. You're just at a different stage.
I, like you, Bert, wondered, like, what does it take to keep that? Because I've never been in a super long relationship, but in the relationship I'm in now, we still feel that way. Like, going on 2 years, it still feels like it did the first week. And sometimes I do wonder in the back of my mind, like, how much of that is the fact that we are long distance and we do have so much space in between every time we see each other? So every time we see each other, there's like this I miss you feeling.
Yes.
That I wonder if it would go away if we actually moved in together or lived together.
That would be my fear also, right? Hey, Lily, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Hi there. So my husband and I accidentally, or it wasn't intentional, we're living now in different states due to a job relocation, and he hasn't been able to, we're not in the same states anymore.
Right.
And I think that's kind of, we got our spark back. We miss each other more. We're not on our phones when we make time to see each other. We're just really all about our family and our kids. And it's just, it feels like that spark is back and it's better than ever. And people think we're crazy and they think it's not real, but I don't know. When I hear you and Mo talk, I think you guys are actually on the phone.
First of all, here's how I feel about relationships, truly, and living life. Lily, because I heard you say that people think we're crazy. Who cares what people think? I mean, let's look at the statistics on happy relationships. And everybody wants to fit into the same model in the same box. It clearly hasn't worked for generations now. But we do the same things over and over and over again. And when someone like you says, you know what? We're living away from each other and it's helped our relationship. There are going to be some going, oh, my God, that's not even a real relationship. That's not even real intimacy. For you guys, it is. And it works. So who cares what anybody else thinks?
Oh, yeah. And we've been judged. And we had a friend that said, if your wife's not sleeping in the same bed with you, you guys got problems.
Oh, no.
Well, come to find out, they're now divorced. She was cheating on him with several men.
Okay. Well, now we know.
Like, and, exactly, to each his own. But now I kind of wonder what it's going to be like when we are in the same house again.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't mean that you got to be in the same house with each other. I mean, if you guys can afford it, if that's the agreement that you have, like this space thing is really working for us, maybe he lives down the street or whatever. But that, if it works for you, it's going to work for you.
Nothing wrong with it.
I like it. Lake House. Here we come.
The Bert Show.